Let's shift our attention now to the Brit Chadashah, the New Covenant Scriptures, the New Testament. Let's turn to the book of Romans, chapter 13, as we continue to work our way through this fantastic, divinely inspired letter written by Rabbi Paul to the congregation at Rome, a congregation made up of Christians and Messianic Jews. This chapter, interesting also, it mentions our responsibility to government, which is obedience, our responsibility to one another, love, our responsibility to the present time, Messiah-like living. Paul wrote 11 chapters so far on theology, teaching us about God and what God wants and what God does and how God works. Now we are in the section of Paul's letter in which the rabbi helps us understand how we are to live in a practical way in light of these great theological truths. First, our responsibility to government. Because of the fall of man, human beings are rebellious by nature. We are rebellious against God. We are rebellious against human authorities. We like to be in control. We like being in charge. We do not like others being in control or telling us what to do. Is that true or false? Very true. God is a God of order. For order to prevail, human beings need human government. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has ordained that human beings be governed by other human beings, even though those other human beings are imperfect. This applies to everyone, including Christians and Messianic Jews. Because of our understanding of God and the Word of God, we might think that we know more than our governmental leaders, that we are more righteous than our leaders. And we might be, but that does not exempt us from submitting to the governing authorities. Verse 1, chapter 13. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Because it is wrong to disobey God, and since God has established human governing authorities, God will punish those who rebel against the government. The purpose of government is to restrain evil and enforce laws which benefit society. Therefore, the government should not be seen as an enemy that we need to fear, but as a friend and ally who is protecting us. The rabbi continues, For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. Governments are powerful. They can be very dangerous. They have police, prosecutors, judges, jails, prisons, armies. They can fine you. They can imprison you. They can punish you in other ways. You don't want to be afraid of a powerful, dangerous government? Rabbi Paul would tell you, That's simple. Simply do what is right. Follow the law, and your leaders will not harm you. They will commend you. If you don't follow the law, then you have reason to be afraid. Government is established by God to order society for the benefit of human beings. For the one in authority, the rabbi writes, is God's servant for your good. Government is established by God to order society for the good of society. Government is established by God to punish wrongdoers. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Bearing the sword means having the right to kill. Government is empowered by God to bring the maximum punishment on wrongdoers. This tells us that God is in favor of capital punishment. And if God gives government the right to execute people, to enforce capital punishment, it has the right to impose lesser penalties, like fines or imprisonment or corporal punishment, which they do in some nations, as long as the punishment is not cruel and unusual. The rabbi repeats the two reasons why Christians and Messianic Jews need to obey the government. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. We need to obey the government because if we don't, we may be punished. And second, because God has established government, and if we want to be right with God and have a good conscience, we need to obey the authorities he has placed over us and submit to them. Even though most people hate paying taxes, government has the right to tax us. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Since God has established government, serving in government is equivalent to serving God. And therefore, just like the Jewish people under the Sinai covenant were required to support the temple and the priests financially, and just like Christians and Messianic Jewish people today under Messiah's new covenant are expected to give generously to support their faith community and those who serve the community, so citizens of a nation are expected to pay taxes to support God's other servants, those who serve in the government. Not just give them money, but give them respect and honor, which in some cases may be even harder to give than money. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Many people make fun of people in government. There is a way of criticizing bad decisions, bad policies, even bad leaders, while doing it with respect. There is a way of showing respect to the office, if not the person who is occupying the office. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Before we move on to the next section, I want to raise the question, is there ever a time to disobey the government, to engage in civil disobedience? And the answer, of course, is yes. The purpose of government is to be God's servant for our good, to support what is beneficial to human society and restrain what is harmful so that people can live in a good and orderly way. If a government starts doing the opposite, supporting what is evil and opposing what is good, if a government becomes cruel and tyrannical, then it is right to oppose that government. And this applies to individual decrees, like in today's Torah portion, the evil decree of Pharaoh to kill the Jewish male children and the civil disobedience of Puah and Shiphrah. There is a time when it's right to oppose a government decree and even to oppose a cruel, tyrannical government altogether. However, that being said, keep in mind that neither Messiah Yeshua nor his apostles, his representatives, believed that Christians and Messianic Jews in the first century should rebel against the Roman government. Rome with all its wickedness and injustice. That tells me that a government would need to be worse than Rome for us to have the right to rebel against it. Our responsibility to government, obedience. Our responsibility to one another, love. The next section. We owe taxes to the government, and we owe our leaders honor and respect. However, there is something that we don't want to owe, and that is money. Let no debt remain outstanding. Followers of Messiah are expected to work. They are expected to live within their means. They are expected to save enough to pay their taxes and support their faith community. We are not to borrow money to make risky investments. We are not to live beyond our means and then borrow money to support a lifestyle that we cannot afford. That's foolish and destructive and dishonoring to God. Let no debt remain outstanding. But there is one kind of debt that we do owe and will continue to owe. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. Each of us is indebted to the Creator for all the tremendous things that He has done, is doing, and will do for us. It is a huge debt that we can never fully repay. But we can partially repay this debt. And one of the ways that we can repay it is by loving our brothers and sisters in Messiah's community. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, primarily referring to loving one another in Messiah's community. Just as God has designed the family so that brothers and sisters have familial obligations to each other simply because they are brothers and sisters, to love each other, to care for each other, to help each other in times of difficulty, So those who are part of Messiah's community are spiritual brothers and sisters, and we have an obligation to love each other and care for one another. Do you have a brother or sister whom you are close to in your family? Do you feel that brotherly love, that sisterly love, that sense of care and concern for, that you would do almost anything for that brother, for that sister? That's the kind of love that the Lord wants us to have for those who are part of Messiah's community, our spiritual brothers and sisters. Consider this, though. If you are not a member of a local community of Messiah's followers, if you are not committed to that community, if you don't come regularly, if you aren't involved in the life of the community, if you don't make an effort to get to know people in the community, if your life is so busy outside the community that you have no time for your brothers and sisters in the community, how can you pay this debt to love one another? You can't. So maybe the Lord is asking some of us to make some changes this year so that we can pay our continuing debt to love one another. The rabbi lets us know that by fulfilling this debt to love one another, we're paying our debt to God, but we also are fulfilling the law. And fulfilling the law is a very, very good thing. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be, are summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. 613 commandments were given to Israel as part of the law. That's a lot of commandments. That's a lot of commandments to remember. That's a lot of commandments to fulfill. But by fulfilling just one of those commandments, love your neighbor as you love yourself, we are able to fulfill them all. If we love our neighbor, if we care for him, if we want what is best for him, we won't harm him. We won't commit adultery with his wife. We won't steal his possessions. We won't take what rightfully belongs to him. If we love our neighbor, not only will we not harm him, we will help him. We will enhance his life. We will make his life better. By loving our neighbor, we live the kind of life that honors God. We pay our debt to God, and we fulfill the law. It almost makes me want to love my neighbor. Our responsibility to government, obedience. Our responsibility to one another, love. Our responsibility to the present time, live like Messiah. The Lord wants us to understand the present time. And do this, the rabbi writes, understanding the present time. The present time is short. The present time is precious. The present time is limited. The present time will come to an end because a great change is coming that will affect all of human history. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. We are saved by Messiah's atoning death and his resurrection and his ascension and the giving of his Spirit. When the rabbi mentions that our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed, he means the great salvation that will come to us when Messiah Yeshua returns to earth. The fullness of our salvation, which includes the resurrection of our bodies and the arrival of a new and better age. Messiah's return to earth and the golden age is getting nearer and nearer every day. Therefore, this present time and the unique opportunities that can only happen in this present time are diminishing every day. We need to wake up from any spiritual slumber to be spiritually awake so we can make the most of these opportunities that are limited to the present time. Makes sense, right? The rabbi continues, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. The present time is characterized by night. Creation began with darkness. First there was darkness, then came light. The 7 days of creation each began with night, then came day. The history of this fallen world starts with thousands of years of night, spiritual darkness, domination by the powers of evil, spiritual confusion, sin, sadness, death, night. Then comes the day, an age of light, when Messiah returns and brings light and truth and salvation and happiness to a dark world. Although we are living in a time when deep darkness covers the earth, we do not need to be part of the darkness. We can be full of light. So, Paul writes, let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Light represents truth, wisdom, understanding, victory. When we know the truth and live according to the truth, it's like putting on armor. We are protected. We are safe. We are victorious. We need to turn from deeds of darkness and live according to the truth. The deeds of darkness. I find that interesting, that phrase. The rabbi understood that people tend to behave worse at night than they do during the day, because the darkness hides many bad behaviors. It's usually harder to identify someone engaged in certain illicit activities in the night than if that person is engaged in those same activities during the day. We do not want to be like people who do bad things during the night. We want to be like people who behave well during the day. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. These are some of the deeds of the darkness. Carousing, drunkenness, sexual immorality, debauchery, dissension, jealousy. This means no wild partying. No excessive use of alcohol that results in drunkenness or loss of control. If drunkenness is not allowed, certainly marijuana and other drugs are not allowed. No sexual immorality. That means no sexual activity outside of the male-female marriage relationship. No fighting, no quarreling, not being difficult to get along with. Not giving into feelings of jealousy, desiring another person's achievement or possession, or desiring that the other person lacked an achievement or possession. These are some of the bad behaviors and bad attitudes that characterize living in the darkness and the deeds of darkness. We don't want to live according to the darkness. We want to live as people do during the day, properly, honorably. Here's how we do that. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Yeshua the Messiah means to be like Yeshua. To imitate him, to follow his example, to be God-centered, not self-centered, to be righteous, to be holy, to love what Yeshua loves, to hate what Yeshua hates, to desire what he desires, to be concerned about what he is concerned about. To be more interested in spiritual things than in material things. To be concerned about the salvation of other human beings. To be passionate to preach his good news and build up his community. How do we do this? How do we clothe ourselves with the Lord Yeshua the Messiah so that we are like him and imitate him and follow him? We do this by being filled with Messiah's Spirit. How are we filled with Messiah's Spirit? First, we need to understand who Yeshua is, that he is very special. Very unique, very important. He's the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He lived a perfect life. He died to atone for our sins. We need to understand that God the Father raised Yeshua from the dead so that Yeshua is alive right now. He has ascended to heaven. He is risen. He is the powerful Messiah and Lord. We need to understand this and believe this. After we understand this, we make a conscious decision to give our allegiance, our loyalty to Yeshua and his Father. Then the Father and the Son send their Spirit, the non-material Person of God, to live in us in a very special way. The Spirit of Yeshua living in us changes us. He transforms us. He gives us a new nature that is like Messiah's nature. The Spirit of the Messiah living in us transforms us more and more into what Messiah is like. He helps us value what Yeshua values. The Spirit of Yeshua living in us gives us power to resist temptation and the deeds of the darkness, and not think how to fulfill the desires of the flesh, but the desires of the Spirit of Yeshua.